Amen, amen, amen. John chapter 9, 1 through 11. I may not get them all read, but I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter came Pentecost. And if you're not Pentecostal, you will be by the time you leave. So we're going to educate you. You know what's funny is some people hold on to stuff that they've been taught, and they really don't read the Bible. And I had a guy said that he told me one time, I took him out to lunch, and he said, "You know, my dad doesn't believe this." And I said, "Odds are you don't either." He said, "What's that mean?" I said, "Have you ever read the Bible?" His dad was right scripturally. And by the end of our lunch, he said, "Man, Dad was right." So no, the Bible's right. Your dad was right about the Bible. Amen? Amen. All right, John 9, 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." Blind from his birth. "His disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" You can go ahead and be seated. This story, when I read this story, it interests me for the fact of if his parents had sinned, what kind of sin would they have had to have sinned for their son to be punished with being born blind? I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of questions. People say, would you rather lose your hearing or lose your sight? I mean, which one would you rather lose? Probably your hearing, most people hearing. Your sight is extremely important. And to think that they were trying to summarize, what did his parents do that would make him be punished in this way that he would be born blind? The next question was, or did he sin? Well, first of all, he was born blind, so he would have had to have sinned in the womb. And we know that that's probably not possible. I know some of you ladies, when you're pregnant, you feel like that child is sinning by kicking you and all those things. But how would you sin in the womb? But the truth is, they thought that this was a punishment because somebody had done something wrong. And let's be honest, sometimes when you do things wrong, there are punishment that come with that. But every time that you go through something in life, it is not an indicator that God's mad at you and that he's punishing you. Though there are times when he will correct you and he will chastise you. Because you are his child, he will correct you. And sometimes being corrected by God is extremely miserable. Because when you go to look for his presence and can't find it, it is an extremely tough place to be. But the question is simply this: Jesus, who sinned? Which one of them sinned, his parents or him, that he would be born blind? Jesus answers, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." As I read this scripture this week, Darren, I couldn't help but go back to a little bit of what you preached when you preached about Adam and the fallen nature. Even though his parents had not sinned and he was born blind, I thought about my blindness. Not my physical blindness, but I thought about my spiritual blindness. There was a time that I did not understand who Jesus was and what the work he did accomplished for me. Anybody say amen? There was a time when I didn't understand what Christianity was all about. I had concluded this, that Christianity was for old people. They're trying to get into heaven and they didn't have any temptation in their life and didn't want to do anything fun anymore, so they could probably adhere to the rules and make it into heaven. Oh, I was so wrong about the work of Jesus in my thinking in those days, because Christianity is a whole lot more, and it's designed for a whole lot more than a few elderly people that are trying to make it into heaven. But Jesus came for the whole world, and I'm here to tell you, he died for us all, and I'm glad to know the true story now. I viewed Christianity as a set of rules and legislation and that you had to keep to get into heaven. Anybody with me? said, oh, you got to do this, and you can't do this, and that. If you do this, and this, you're going to hell. But if you do this, you can go to heaven. I found out it wasn't about any of that. It was about being born again. And when I found out about being born again and understanding that the this, and this, when you got a new nature, you don't want to do anymore. And the this, and that, when you got a new nature, is the thing that you want to do. I got a revelation of what Jesus is and what he done. And I don't know about you, when I think of where I'm going in terms of where I've been, I'm glad to know I've been born again. Not of the water, not only of the water, but I've been born of the Spirit. Oh, I got a new nature. If you had known me before I knew him, you would understand why I love him. Oh, if you only knew me before I met Jesus, you would understand. There were times in my life that I can conclude, I came to this conclusion, life wasn't worth living. And so what I would do is blame myself and try to be a better me. What I found out was a better me wasn't getting the job done. So when I came to Jesus, I said, I don't like who I am. He said, you came to the right person, because I'm not going to reform you. I'm not going to patch you. I'm going to make you somebody brand new. All things are going to pass away. Behold, all things are going to become new. I don't know if you've ever been born again, but that old nature is gone. I got life worth living because I got his life. Amen. This blind man is so like me because I just couldn't see it. I heard him sing about it, but I didn't understand it. I sung the words, but I didn't understand it. They would sing about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The verse would say, I once was blind, but now I see. I said the words, but I still couldn't see it. I sang when they sang, but I still couldn't see it. Oh, but when you meet Jesus, things begin to change. It ain't about the words of the song. You understand who they're singing about and what he did. And I don't know about you, but I once was blind, but now, by the grace of God, I see. You ever heard somebody say this? They say, once you see it, you can't unsee it. I'm there. I am there. I've seen it, and I can't unsee it. I can't unsee the grace of God. I can't unsee the mercy of God. I can't unsee the cross of Jesus. I can't unsee an empty tomb. I can't unsee it because he opened my eyes. My parents had sinned. All of our parents had sinned. And because they had sinned, we were born blind. We were all born spiritually blind. And you know what we did? We searched, Perry, for something to fill that emptiness. There was something missing in us. And we tried everything we could find to fill that emptiness. Can I get a witness? Trying to feel it. The devil has plenty of options to give you and promise you that this will fill the hole. I got a room full of witnesses. Right now, the reason you are sitting in this room right now is because there was nothing out there in the world that could fill that emptiness. But when you found Jesus, you found out, can't nobody do me like Jesus can. Can't nobody touch me like Jesus can. Can't nobody deliver me like Jesus can. Can't nobody anoint me like Jesus can. Can't nobody feed me like Jesus can. Can't nobody pick me up like Jesus can. It would satisfy for a moment, but it was such a fleeting moment. And then it would go away and I'd be searching again. People have lost their lives trying to find something to fill that hole in their heart. People have died with needles in their arm trying to find something to fill that emptiness in their heart. People have died with a bottle to their lips trying to find something to fill that emptiness in their heart. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I died too. I said, I died too. I died when I got that emptiness in my heart filled, because once he came in, the old man passed away and all of that became new. I don't know about you, but I lost my life so that I could find it. And now that I got it, I got life. And it's not temporary life. It's life everlasting. Go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. He's worthy. He's so worthy. I can't see. I'm blinded. I don't know about you, but I sit in church as a Sunday school kid and I listen to the stories. And I came to this conclusion. What Adam did was unfair to me. I said, why should I have to go to hell because Adam messed up? I don't know about you, that didn't sit well with me. I hated, disliked strongly. When one kid in the class would act up and everybody else got pop quizzes because of it. Why should I be punished for goofy sin? Anybody with me? Amen. Why? Well, let me go a little deeper. Let me go a little deeper. Our country's in a mess. Our president can't even talk very well. I'm being serious. It's awful. It's sad. It really is sad when you listen to it. And I'm not being political, but I'm telling you this. Why should I have to suffer because of somebody else's voting record? Oh, now I got you where you live now, right? Bothers me. Bothered me about Adam. I thought about this. He lived to be 930? Can you imagine family reunions? For 930 years, everybody's at the reunion. Here comes Adam and Eve. Here he comes. I'm pretty sure he wasn't the most popular guy at the reunion. One thing, Adam, you had one thing to do or to not to do. Just one, Adam. How's your crop, Methuselah? It's horrible. It's Adam's fault. It didn't sit well with me. I was blind because of what Adam did. My parents were blind because of what Adam did. Your great-grandpa was blind because of what Adam did. God, why did we all have to be blind? Jesus would say, the reason he is blind is because I'm going to get the glory. Are you listening to me? I was born blind. And the reason I was born blind is because of sin. But Jesus was going to get some glory out of me being able to see, because I couldn't save my own blindness. I couldn't bring about my own sight. But thank God for a light that could redeem me and buy me and purchase me and give me sight. Can you say amen? But how do I see? I don't know about you, but I don't know. I think a lot. Anybody here think a lot? I think about it a lot. I still think about it, and I still get mad at Adam. Will Adam be in heaven? One of you theologians tell me. Will Adam be in heaven? You think so? Anybody else think so? Anybody think he won't be in heaven? Anybody's like, why are you asking? We don't know. Because I've thought about this. I said, man, if Adam's in heaven, I know I'm going to be happy to see Jesus. But here's what's amazing. Once you see it and you're born again, I'm going to be happy if he's there. I'm going to be happy if Solomon's there. I'm going to be happy if anybody, I'll be happy if Goliath is there. Because it'll be, man, you made it too. You made it too. You made it. And I know how you made it. You made it the same way I made it. You didn't, oh, I know you're Adam and I know you messed up, but I know the second man, Adam, can save everybody from Adam to Adolf Hitler. God is able. Man, it's going to be awesome if he's there. Won't it? Now I see it. Now I see it. Now, because I see it, I can't stop telling you about it. Can you imagine being blind and then being able to see? Can you imagine what that's like? The problem is now we have people that are blind that are proclaiming they can see, but they can't see. What do you mean by that, preacher? I'll tell you what I mean. We have preachers proclaiming the gospel that do not claim to be born again. You know what's scary about that? Is though they can give you the colors of the spectrum, red, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet, though they may be able to quote them all, they have never seen them. And because they have never seen them, they really don't understand what they're talking about. Though they're given the information, they haven't seen it. God said, you were born blind, and now you see. You're going to be convincing because you know what I can do because you were blind. I'm going to get glory out of you because you know when that alcohol bottle couldn't help anymore, you knew that there was a Savior that could do it. Can you say amen? I see it now. But I'm going to tell you how I see it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2 and 1. This is Pentecost Sunday. I heard a preacher say this one time. And remember, I listen. I listen to the preacher. I listen to the songs. I was one of those bus kids. Hilltop would come down into Fireco and pick us up and take us up there to Hilltop. I can still sing the songs that they sang. They look wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, greater Lord than all my sin and shame, higher than a mountain, flowing like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Y'all want me to keep going? Y'all like that? I don't know. Man, some of them women had high voices. No, not me. And I listen. I'd read the Bible. And don't judge me, but I had a Jimmy Swaggart study Bible. You remember that Bible? Man, I watched Jimmy Swaggart on TV, and he'd scare me to death. Having him charts up there, and King Nebuchadnezzar standing there. I mean, I remember the pictures. And y'all know how I feel about Jack Van Impe. Those were scary times in the 80s. The Cold War, Gog and Magog. Anybody with me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, those were scary times. I'm studying and I'm reading and I'm listening. And I sat in that church and I heard that preacher. These words came out of his mouth. He said, if you're waiting to experience what they experienced on the day of Pentecost, you can stop waiting because it's not going to happen. I'm a little bust kid from Farco. But the first thing that came into my mind And I wanted to say it out loud, but I didn't know if they'd give me a ride anymore. Well, says who? Just because you said it doesn't mean it's right. Because what he didn't know is I read the Bible. And I didn't read any doctrines of cessation. And I didn't read any Baptist books. And I didn't read any Methodist books. The only thing I had was a Jimmy Swaggart Bible. And in that Bible, it talked about a new birth. And this is what it said. It said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is what I do know, preacher. I know that God is not a respecter of persons. And if the same spirit that moved on the day of Pentecost, it's still able to move on me today. As a matter of fact, it's imperative that the Spirit move on me. And on the contrary to what the preacher said, you better be sure what you got is real. You better be filled with the Spirit of God, because without His Spirit, you're none of His. That's what I do know. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Listen to this. He said, tarry. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm not turning back now. Day one, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day two, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day three, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day four, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day five, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day six, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day seven, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day, don't you give up. Don't you stop. Don't you give up. Don't you lay down your prayer. Don't you throw in the towel, because on day eight, they prayed, and nothing happened. Day nine, they prayed, and nothing happened. But on day 10, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Hold on. Hold on. He's coming. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. Are you? You know, when God does something, He does it suddenly. It ain't always quickly, but it's suddenly. Amen. Amen. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each. Say, everybody. It set upon each of them. I got to hurry. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here is why we don't want to preach this, because we don't want to lose control of the service. We want to make sure the pastor is in control, but God wants to be in control. We want to make sure that we've got it all planned out and everything is done in decency and in order. Can I tell you this? God can still move and it still be done in decency and in order. We don't have to have control of it for God to make it work. Can I get an amen? He said, oh, when the Spirit started moving, things begin to change. So check this out. I've been talking about this for years. And people stealing my idea. I've been talking about the Tower of Babel. You probably never heard me talk about it, that's why I'm talking to you right now, because everybody else has already heard it before. And Robin already told me she's heard all my jokes, and I'm not funny, but to the new people. So I'm so glad you're here so I can talk to you. I don't care what they think about my jokes anyway. This is good. They went to build a tower. And when they went to build a tower, the whole world was one language. And they was going to build this tower in heaven. And God said, you know what? Man's purpose in his heart. I'm going to have to go do something. So he went down and he confounded their languages. And ever since I've ever read that, the first time I read it, I said, that would be the wildest thing to ever witness. Like me and you are working together to build this tower. And he confounds our language. And I look over and I say, hey, give me a board. And you go, honky, honky, honky. I'm like, cut it out. I look over here and he says, no, I'm blowing glass. And I'm like, what are you saying? And then we look over somebody, I'm sure he wasn't doing that. Sure he wasn't. We would be like, man, what's going on? I've seen videos now on, people sent me videos. And these people are doing that now. And that's so aggravating. I was like, that's mine. They stole it. But what happened was, because they was trying to build a name for themselves, God confounded their languages. But on the day of Pentecost, God reversed what happened at the Tower of Babel. How'd he do it? He did it through the Spirit. They started talking. The Bible says, speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me read on so if you don't know this. So you'll be Pentecostal when you leave. Next verse. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Go to verse 6. Skip it. Go to verse 7. Watch this. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Are these not people from Galilee? Next verse. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? You got to see the connection to Babel. Because here's what happens. You hang around people you can understand. Because if you can't understand them, it's uncomfortable. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. We went to a McDonald's one time in High Point, North Carolina. The menu was in Spanish. And we walked in, and I knew what it felt like. I walked in. We were the minorities. Everybody looked at us like, you're on the wrong side of town. I said, I feel it. I feel what you're saying. I looked at the menu, and I couldn't even order. And then they started talking, and I couldn't understand them. And at that point, I wanted to get out of there. You ever been there? We were talking about this one time at work. And they said, you know who kills me? I said, coal truck drivers. And they said, no, people that you can't understand what they're saying. I said, coal truck drivers. You're a coal truck driver, God forgive me. It's so hard to hang out with people you can't understand. But what the Spirit does is it takes everybody and puts them all in the same category. Because let me tell you what God can do. God can speak every language. Does it take him a lot of languages? No. God can speak to every heart with one language. Though they were speaking in their tongue, oh, they heard it in their own language. That's what God can do. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When you're blind, only God can open it up so that you can see. I don't care where you came from. Come on, Aaron. Let's sing a song. So, despite what the preacher said, I need understanding. And we're talking about spiritual sight. We're talking about enlightenment. This is what Buddha taught. Don't look at me like I am Buddha because I'm fat and bald. I'm saying Buddha. Buddha taught enlightenment. He taught nirvana. You know what that means? You can get power over all of your vices by meditation. That's why you see, boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da. What are you trying to get? I'm trying to get enlightenment. How do I get that? Through meditation. Let me tell you what's going to happen when you try to get enlightenment through meditation. You're going to get frustrated. Anybody ever meditated before? How long did that last for you? Let's try it right now. Get nothing. Put nothing in your brain right now. Just sit there, close your eyes, and don't think. You ain't going to last no time. You'll be, I got to mow the grass tomorrow. I got to go to Kroger. And then, Lord have mercy, I forgot the vacuum. I don't have to vacuum. Then you're going to lean over and ask your spouse, did you get the towels out of the washer? Anybody with me? You ever tried that? And then you're like, I'm not going to think about anything. And you wind up doing? Think about everything. You know what you're going to do when you try to get power of yourself through yourself? You're going to get frustrated with yourself. Because Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub. That's Bible. Demons can't cast out demons. You can't get understanding on your own. You can't get wisdom on your own. You got to have the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom. So what happened on Pentecost is God gave them a spirit that would give all understanding to what God was doing. That was way better than y'all gave me credit for. Yeah. Why? Because you need the spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate the infilling of the spirit. Can I finish these verses? Can I have a few more minutes? How hear we every man in their own tongue? That's why you got to watch these people that's like, I want everybody to stand up and speak in tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't even know what you're talking about. Am I real? What they want everybody to do is stand up and speak in an unknown tongue. That's not what this is talking about. This was a revelation tongue. This is God speaking to everybody so they understand in their own language. How is it? Is there an unknown tongue? Yes. Yes. But when you tie it in with this, you're a little confused. And you do it because your grandpa did it. Leave him alone, Damon. Yes, sir. How we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. We do hear them speak in our own tongues. Y'all got all those nations, right? That's all the people that were there, right? In our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. They're speaking through the Spirit. And you know what the Spirit is proclaiming? The wonderful works of God. You know what also makes me nervous? Is when every time you get tongues interpretation, it's 11:59 and the clock's about to strike and it's doomsday coming. Because let me tell you what the Spirit does sometimes. Tells about the wonderful works of God. I know y'all didn't like that, but this is how it is. Let me tell you something about the Spirit. The Spirit's pretty positive about what's going on in the kingdom of God. Let me try it again. The Spirit is pretty positive about what's going on in the kingdom of God. Because I don't know if you know this or not, He's not coming back after an anemic, dried up, dead church, but He's coming back after a church that is on fire, that is passionate, that is doing something for the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, He said, I'm coming back after a bride that's ready. She's not dead, she's ready. Next verse, and I may let you go. Maybe not. Hurry, hurry. They were all and worrying. That's awesome. They were amazed and doubting. You ever been there? This is awesome. I don't know what's going on. What do you think about this? This is great. What is it? Saying one to another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Let me tell you something about your worship. If you're not worshiping in a way that people say, what are you doing? You might not be worshiping right. If your worship is dead and stale and crusty, you might want to change that up a little. So that somebody could see some joy flowing through you and say, what's going on here? what is going on here? They're amazed. They're in doubt, saying, what meaneth this? Next verse. Others, mocking, said, these dudes are drunk. Can I keep going? I know I'm on overtime. I know I got my landing gear out. I'm trying to bring this thing down. Am I okay to keep going? Okay. The new guy said, yeah. So this isn't, it's us. Thank you. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Hurry. Go, Jacob. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Listen. I want you to listen. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's only the third hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, man. It's only 9 o'clock. Do you understand? Next verse. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to let you know what's going on here. God said this day was coming and it's here. And I want to make sure that you understand this. The same thing that happened in Acts 2 is still able to happen in 2024 because my God is not dead and his spirit is still moving. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to see visions. You know what I need? I need some young men to start praying for vision. God, give me a vision. God, give me a vision. You know what I need? Some sons and daughters to start praying. God, give me the word that I can speak it under the inspiration of your spirit. Show some wonders in heaven, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire. Man, vapor's most serious, ain't it? Junior, when the Spirit comes in, everything changes. I see it now, but I see it through the Spirit. Kevin, I thought I could get it intellectually. I thought I could figure it out. You're never going to figure out God. You just got to be filled up with it. Oh, if I could just learn a few more things, I could. You really think that you're going to grasp God? Let's stand. Let's stand. I once was blind, but now I see. I couldn't understand it, but the Spirit made it known to me. When he took up his abode in me, he made it. No, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. It takes the Spirit to reveal it to you. It can't be taught. It has to be caught. Say that again. I can't teach you the spiritual things unless you caught the Spirit. Unless you're born again. As we sing this song, if you need prayer, would you step out and come and allow us to pray with you? You say, you know what, preacher? You preached to me today. There's some things I need my eyes open to. And I want you to pray that the Spirit reveals them to me because I've been trying to figure it out on my own. If that's you, step out. Come on, Darren, come on. Jason, come on. Everybody step out, help me. Come on, Dustin, get out of there. Let's go. Where you at?